Now today, I'm going to talk to you about, you'll see the title, is Standing on the Promises. If you look in the Word of God at 2 Corinthians verse 1, chapter 20, I sometimes like to look at the Message version. Now, I do realize that the Message is just, it's not a word-for-word translation of Scripture, okay? I do realize that, but sometimes it just has a cool way of saying it. And it says, whatever God has promised, get stamped with the yes of Jesus. And so I want to talk to you about what has been stamped with the yes of Jesus. I know you're all wondering what I'm doing with all these suitcases. I promise you, we'll get there. So what we've been singing about lately is the promises of Jesus, the promises of God. And so a couple weeks ago, we were worshiping, and the whole message of the worship seemed to be about the promises of God. And the thought occurred to me, how many people really know what the promise of God is for them? Do we really, really know and understand the promise of God? Do we get that this word is filled with promises? And if I'm a child of God, everything in this book applies to me. Every promise applies to me if I am a child of God. Did you know that, church? That every one of those promises applies to you. So my question to you today is, what promise are you standing on? Are you waiting for God to fulfill? Now that, I'm not talking about, I'd really like a new car, or I'd really like a new house, or I'd really like a new job. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about stuff that you know can only be given to you because of the grace and sacrifice of God. I'm talking about the real life stuff. What promise are you standing on today? Let me give you an example, okay? So here's mine. For my family, it comes from Psalm 102:28. And throughout the message, I'm going to be talking about, just because I want you guys to get an example of what I mean when I say, I'm standing on this promise for this season. Okay, we all have different seasons in our lives. There's some of you that are in a season of having babies and raising babies, and then there's others of you that are empty nesters and that are taking care of your parents, and there's some of you that are on your, you know that you're on your final season of life. Regardless, there are promises in here for that season for you. And so Psalms 102 verse 28 says, the children of your servants will live in your presence. Now I consider myself a servant of God, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a child of God. And as a child of God, I'm called to serve God. So my children will live in his presence, the presence of God, and their descendants. So that's my grandkids. My grandkids are not even on the horizon right now, okay? But I can still believe for this. My grandchildren, their descendants will be established before you. Now, am I going to see this promise fulfilled tomorrow? No. But it's a promise that I'm standing on knowing I'm not going to see it fulfilled tomorrow and probably not the next day or the next day or the next day. But I know it's true. And so when the enemy comes at me and says, this is going, because are my kids perfect? And I love them, but they're not perfect, and I'm not a perfect parent. And so I know that when the enemy comes and says, well, your kid did this, or your kid did that, or your kid did this, I know that this is what God's promised me, that my descendants will be in his presence, in his favor. And so those are the kinds of things I'm talking about when I'm talking about the promises of God today. So I want to have you guys stand up for me. I know this is a little bit different service. Y'all are going to be really happy that Pastor's coming back next week. Because what we're going to do is we're going to declare, we're going to start the service declaring, and we're going to end the service declaring what the Word of God says for you and about you. Okay? First, the promises are to you and your children. So I'm going to say it, and you're going to repeat after me, okay? The promises are to me and my children. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. They come against me one way and they'll flee seven. am above only and not below.
I am the head and not the
tail. I am blessed coming in and going out. If God is for me, who can be against me? I wear the armor of God, and I stand against the schemes of the devil.
I cannot be defeated.
At his name, every knee will bow. Those are the promises of God in this word for you. Amen. Okay, I want you to sit down. But I want you to keep formulating on those in your heart. There's one of those that you spoke that the Lord quickened in your heart. And I want you to hang on to that while we're talking today. As I pondered the promises of God and why we don't always see them coming to pass in our life, that's my question. Why aren't we seeing them? If this word of God is true, what's getting in the way? What's going on in me? What's going on in my life that's keeping them from being fulfilled? And so the very first one, you know, I'm kind of a visual person. And so it's Family Sunday. So I decided that we're going to do some visual aids. I was not expecting all the confetti, but I got to tell you, I love it. And so I asked Paige if she would come up and be my helper with my visual aids today. Come on up, Paige. So this suitcase, if you can kind of open it up and then just take it right here. There you go. Now just take them all out and set them up along there. Okay? Unwrap it. You'll see there's stuff inside. So while Paige is unwrapping things in the suitcase, I just want to tell you a little bit about that suitcase. So I'm sure if you noticed, you can just kind of lean them up against the suitcase. There you go, Peanut. Perfect. Great. So I'm sure you noticed that suitcase probably looks a little weathered, right? That suitcase, some of you might know her as Ida Thompson, but we affectionately know her around our house as Grandma Idy. And so Grandma Idy gave that suitcase to Andrea. And if you come and look at any suitcases in our house, they always have the airline tags on them because I love keeping the airline tags on to just go, oh, that's right, that's when we took that suitcase to here. So if you look at the tag on this suitcase, well, that one doesn't fit anywhere, huh? We'll do that. Thanks, high five. Thank you, Paige. If you look at the tag on that, it was from Andrea's very first trip to Disney World. This is the suitcase that she took. And so Judy Hempel, who is Ida's daughter, was in first service, and she said, I kept sitting there looking at that suitcase thinking, that's my mom's suitcase. How did she get my mom's suitcase? I'm sure that's my mom's suitcase. And it is her mom's suitcase. But my illustration today is that this suitcase represents the baggage in our lives. The familial, the family baggage in our lives. Because some of us, we had great parents that told us the word of God, that encouraged us. But then there's some of us who had parents that's not what we received. That instead, we received curses, we received abuse, we received pain. And when we think back about this bag, we just want to keep it sealed up. And I told Judy when I opened up the suitcase last night to put the stuff in it, it smells like Grandma Idy's house. Now, to me, that's very comforting because Grandma Idy was a significant amount of love in our home and in this church family. But for some of you, if you smelled the smell of your family home, it wouldn't bring warm fuzzies. And so that sometimes keeps us from the promises of God. Things like feeling incompetent. You know, I put this gift bag in there just to represent our soul. You know, we talked all year long so far about body, soul, and spirit. And our soul can be covered with this thought process of I'm incompetent, I'm alone, I'm worthless, I'm unworthy. And so inside, though, is a whole nother list of promises, because this is what God believes about me. This might be what I believe, and it might be what the world believes or what I was taught, But it's not the truth. What's the truth is in here. And so some of us are being held back by family baggage. Now, let me give you another example. If you come over to my house and we have dinner, you're going to open up my cupboards and take out plates, right? Do you expect those plates to be clean or dirty when you take them out? You would hope they're clean, right? Well, sometimes when the enemy comes in with words like this and with family baggage, if you just shove it down and stuff it down, it's like putting a dirty plate away. If you put a dirty plate away, it's just going to keep growing mold and yuck and get more and more and more disgusting. So when those thoughts of the enemy come up and he says, you're unworthy, you're stupid, you're never going to amount to anything, this is where we go to wash with the word our minds. And so those of you who have done OSL, you should remember this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. You are the newness of God in Christ. But it's up to us to wash that. It's up to, I'm not going to come into your house and do your dishes. You have to do your dishes. I can buy you all the soap in the world. I can buy you a dishwasher. But it's not my responsibility to come into your house and wash your dishes every night after dinner. This is what's going to wash you, the word of God and the promises of God. So I want you to get a picture of this, okay? You all saw those kids up here singing, right? And I know some of you know Nate and Amanda Mills. Nate's part of our council, and that was his little guy, Kat, Malachi, that was up here, right? Now, Malachi is little, and he doesn't know all the motions yet, right? And so he's asking Ada and Bella, what do we do? What do we do? I don't know if any of you could hear him. I could hear him from over there. We still all watched him and loved it, didn't we? We thought that was the sweetest thing because of his innocence. Because his heart was not malicious. His heart was just to be up here, worshiping God with his family. Okay, think about when the Word of God says that he delights over us with singing. You delighted in watching him. We delighted in watching all of them. God delights in watching you worship him and serve him. The reason he gave you his word is because he delights in you. Why do we write letters and cards and all of that to people? Because we delight in them. And that's what God has done for us in this word. So I want you to get a picture of the creator of the universe dancing over you. That's how much he loves you. He's dancing over you. He's not looking at all this baggage. He's not looking at what you did yesterday or what you did 5 years ago. He's looking at you today in your heart. So the second thing that I see that hinders us from receiving the fulfillment of the promise is expectations. So I have another bag here. Hey, Lucas, would you come up here and help me? Or Noah, I mean, sorry. Called you your brother's name. I'm sure your mom never does that, does she? So can you unzip this and take out what's in it? Thank you. Can you tell everyone what it is?
Pictures.
Pictures. It's a scrapbook. Thanks. So our expectations sometimes prevent us from this. In case you guys are trying to see what this is a scrapbook of one of our first trips to Mexico. If you want to see some people when they were younger, just come find me after church. Sean and Christina are in here quite a bit. A lot of the time, we're showing God, well, you did it in that person's life that way, and you did it in that person's life that way, and you did it in that person's life that way. For instance, if we're having a financial crisis, and we think, okay, I just need to do this or this or this or this, and then work calls and says, hey, could you work an extra shift? And we freak out. What if that's God's provision? Like, it doesn't maybe look like we thought, because we were really hoping that there was just going to be an extra credit card application or a check in the mail or something like that. But sometimes the way God moves is very different. And you know, I'm not just saying that because I know it from my own life. I'm saying it because of the Word of God. So let's talk about some of the ways that God did things differently in the Bible. So how many times did God part the Red Sea? Once. Now think about that. The children of Israel were in Egypt. They were being tortured by Pharaoh. They needed out. Because of the plagues, they were released. They get to the sea. They can't get through. So God provided a salvation for them. That's their salvation in the Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea. Now today, we all need salvation. But God doesn't part the Red Sea for us. Because that right there, that symbol back there, that's our salvation. It's the same kind of miracle, you guys. But it looks very different. And sometimes if we're expecting him to part the Red Sea and he's trying to point us back to the cross, we can get very frustrated with him. Look a little bit further in Scripture and you'll see where the children of Israel were in the desert and they needed water. And so God told Moses, go strike the rock. And water came out. Miracle. Then, a little bit later, children of Israel are whining again. They need water again. So Moses took it upon himself. God said, Moses, go speak to the rock. Go speak to the rock. But that's not what Moses wanted to do. So out of his own anger and frustration, he struck the rock. He hit the rock. Now, God still did the miracle. Water still came out. But Moses lost something in his disobedience. Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land because of disobedience at that point. Moses saw one miracle and had an assumption of what it should look like. Now, I know that there's a whole lot more to that story, but we're not going to get into that. Let's move on to the New Testament. Jesus healed person after person after person, right? But there was one guy that he reached down and he spit and made mud and put it on his eyes. Now, I'm really glad that I wasn't that person. I'm sure that many of the people Jesus healed would be really glad they weren't that person. But then there's another time when the woman with the issue of blood just walked up to Jesus and touched him, and she was healed like that. Some of us want to just touch Jesus and be healed like that. And Jesus is saying, you know, let's make some mud. Let's put some mud on your eyes. And we can get really frustrated that we have to go through the mud. We just want it to happen. And so what I'm saying today is, don't let your expectations get in the way of God's promises. If he said he would do it, he will do it. I think we sang about that just a minute ago. If he said he would do it, he will do it. Now, I know in my own life, we were in Bible college, I think, and the Lord put a psalm on my heart that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And the desire of my heart at that time was to have children. Now, like I said, we were in Bible college and I'm kind of a planner. And so, you know, we had a plan that we need to be pregnant by this month and you know. So that was my scripture that I really felt like the Lord had given me for that season and that time. And so I got pregnant in the right month. And then a month later, I had a miscarriage. And that did not fit with that scripture. But God, you said. This is my plan. Well, that plan came from my head, not God's. And so fast forward now, we've graduated from Bible college. My timeline is all screwed up. And we come home and we were expecting again. Again. I still hung on to that scripture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then we had a miscarriage, and that was not part of the plan. Because, again, I had a plan about when this baby was going to be born and how this was going to just work into youth ministry and yada, yada, yada. So, it challenged my theology again. And then I finally figured out, delight yourself in the Lord. It means get rid of the plan, Lisa. Give up your plan. Surrender your plan to mine. But that was hard, you guys. Now, I'm talking to you about it today, and my kids are 16 and 18, but I can still tell you what the pain felt like back then. It's not in my heart anymore because of God's grace, but I can tell you that was a hard season. And so what God really, really wants us to do, though, is to open up the scrapbook like this, where there aren't any pages, and say, okay, Lord, what's your plan? Show me your plan for me. What do you want? What pages are you going to fill? What pictures are you going to do in my life? What things? Because 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Now think about it. We all live in the Pinterest generation. Okay, so if you're going to have a party, what do? You have 500 pins for a 20-minute party. Because there's a lot of people with imagination out there, bigger than mine. I'm pretty imaginative, but there's a lot of people with bigger imagination than me. So if God is bigger than Pinterest, he's bigger, his plan for you is bigger than anything you could have ever imagined. But you got to get in here and you got to find it. See, what are the chances? Think of all, Tanner Samuels and I just had this discussion between services. He's not here, is he? Okay, well, you can tell him later. So we had a discussion between services about what are the chances. Think about this. All of you and all of your descendants and all of your histories, what are the chances that out of the trillions of people on the planet, you would end up in this place today? Because I seriously doubt some of my descendants were in the same country as yours. But now God allows us to all be together because he has something uniquely purposed and designed for you that I want you to walk out of this place knowing today. He has something so much bigger. The promises of God, though, they do not, now hear me, okay? Hear me. They do not promise you a perfect life. They do not promise you a trouble-free life. So that is not what I want you to hear. In fact, Scripture shows very different. But because of his promises, all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. That means I get to give up my scrapbook and I got to be called according to his scrapbook. So whatever it is that God's telling you, okay, see that page over there? You kind of already had it laid out. You kind of already had your idea of what you thought that was going to look like. Can you just give it to me today? Because I promise you, my scrapbook page is going to blow your mind. Now, the third and final reason that we don't see the promises of God fulfilled in our lives that we're going to talk about today is that we have not met the prerequisite. So I had people from every section of school stand up, right? So I'm going to pick on you, G, okay? So Gunner is going to be a sophomore. He's going into 10th grade. But he's already finished K through 9, successfully completed K through 9. But I'll bet if you go into your school counselor and you say, can I take Spanish 4? What are they going to tell you? They're going to say, aunt, you didn't have one, two, and three. Or you had one, but you didn't have 2 and 3 yet. Right? Okay, so that's the same for us. There's a prerequisite to receiving these promises. Hebrews 6:11 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must Believe that he is. That's the first prerequisite. And that he know that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you know that he is. You're going to confess with your mouth. There's another scripture that talks about you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Now, some of you are sitting out there going, Lisa, I did this already. Like, I did this at camp, or I did this when I was a kid, or I did this, blah, 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 right? However, two reasons that I'm talking about it today is if there is one person in here that does not walk in covenant with Jesus Christ, I don't want you to leave this place without making a covenant with him. And I get just a little bit emotional about that because he died for that covenant, you guys. You know, I have a covenant with Pastor Jim that we have had for 26 years. I stood on this stage when it was orange and made a covenant with him. But you know, if we didn't keep renewing that covenant and working on that covenant and applying ourselves to that covenant, we wouldn't have any of the blessings that we have today. And there was a season. I said, I'm going to share with you the different promises that we've had to stand on, that I've personally had to stand on in my life. There was a season when we were not, our covenant was very broken. And I know some of you know this already, but there was a season in our life where we were actually separated. And that was a really, really difficult season. And the thing that the scripture that God kept bringing to me was Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 26. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Because see, our hearts had turned to stone. We didn't really care about one another. We cared about using one another to get what we wanted. We didn't give a rip about what God said. We did things our way. And so only after a while, that promise came true. But it didn't come true like I thought it would. It still took an awful lot of work. And I love him more than anything besides Jesus. But it still takes a lot of work, you guys. And that's what covenant is. It's work. And so when I'm talking to you about covenant with the Lord today, I'm talking about you being diligent to get into this word, to know what's in that word. Because you stood up, you said the promises. And I can tell you them, but it's so much better when he tells you them. And here's how he tells you them. Because some people have said, well, how do you hear God? How do you know you hear God? Most of the time I'll tell you how it is for me. Because I do know this word, and I'll be struggling with something, one of those words, one of those verses will just come to me. Now, Jim are very good at saying, oh, John 3:16 says, blah, blah, blah. That is not a gifting for me, okay? I have to go study it out. I got to look it up. I got to find it. But I know that, okay, greater is he who is in me than he. Now, but then I got to go search that and thank God for Google and YouVersion Bible apps because you just type it in and there it is. But that's what I want for you. I want you to get to know the word of God. So when you're worshiping or you're struggling or you're praying and some word phrase comes to you and you're like, that sounds kind of familiar. I want you to find that and know that that could be the promise of God for you. My heart for you today is that you would understand that these promises that we've talked about, they only apply for people that are in covenant. Only apply for people that are in covenant. There's things you know because of the covenant relationships in your life. There are benefits to covenant that you cannot have outside of covenant. And so what I'm asking you today is to either establish or reestablish your covenant with the Lord. If you're finding that, I'm just blocked. Maybe you're saying, yep, it's the family thing that's blocking me. And you got to wash some dishes. You got to wash those memories with the word. Maybe it's your expectations that have to be crushed, but maybe it's a covenant that needs to be reestablished. And so we're gonna pray in just a minute, and I want to give you the opportunity to reestablish that covenant if you need to reestablish that covenant. I'm going to give you an opportunity to establish the covenant. I'm going to give you an opportunity to let the Lord open up your suitcase if it needs opening up. Whether it smells warm and fuzzy like Grandma Idie's house or not. I know that the Lord really wants to heal you today and to begin to establish his promise for you in your life. Now you'll know that this suitcase I didn't open, right? I don't know how many of you can see this from back there, but it's not just polka dots. It's Mickey Mouse polka dots on it. There's a reason for that. Because this represents the happiest place on earth, right? That's their little slogan. The place I'm talking about, the joy I'm talking about, it's so much bigger than what you can find in Orlando or Anaheim. It's so much bigger. And I'm not going to open it. You know why? Because what God has in here is for me. And it's completely different than what it is for any of you. But God has your own suitcase. And you know what? Some of your suitcases are so much bigger than this one. So much bigger than this one. But if you're too scared to open it, you're never going to see all the things that God has planned for you. It says that he established you before the foundation of the world. And so my challenge to you today is to say to God, help me open my suitcase. Show me what's in my suitcase, Lord. So let's pray together, church. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you that the promises of God are yes and amen. God, I know that you have dropped promises in the hearts of the people throughout this message today. And so I pray that you would quicken those in our hearts as we go from this place. With everyone's eyes closed and heads bowed, I'm just going to ask, is there anybody here who says, I don't have a covenant with the Lord. I want those benefits. I want to be a conqueror. I want everything that I set my hand to prosper. If there's anybody in here that says, I don't have that kind of covenant, I want it. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. I see you in the back. I just want you, in the stillness of your own heart, to say, Jesus, I love you. I believe that you are the Son of God who died for my sins. I receive you today. Wash me clean. Make me one of yours. Allow me to be established in your covenant. Jesus, I bless the people that are here today. I speak healing and wholeness into every family. Lord, we stand on your word and the promises of your word today that say nothing, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And so, Lord, you see all throughout this sanctuary the weapons that have been formed against your people. God, you said they will not prosper, and so we stand on that today. Lord, you said in your word that when the enemy comes in, that you will raise up a standard. And so we ask for that standard to be raised today in the lives of these people. We speak healing. We speak wholeness. God, we speak your love, your strength, and your power. God, I speak your grace. In the midst of trial, in the midst of rejoicing, we speak your grace today. Blessing and favor on this people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to all stand with me. And we're going to confess the word of the Lord again. Because I want you to go out of this place knowing that It's not real popular to be a Christian in our world, right? But this is not a popularity contest. This is about truth. And so I know that there's probably some people out there today that are going through some things that you say, I need the promise. God, I want the promise. And so I just want to remind you today of what those are. So we're going to repeat these. And all of them, none of these are just Lisa Machen made up, okay? It is not sparkly and glittery. All of them come out of the Word of God, directly out of the Word of God. Some of them are listed on your bulletin. If you want to take a picture of these, you come and ask me. I'll let you have a picture of them. Exodus 23:25. I'm going to read them and you're going to repeat them. He will bless my bread and water. And take sickness from the midst of me. I am above only and not below. I am the head and not the tail. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Okay, now let me pause right there. It doesn't say that there will be no weapons formed against you, okay? It says it won't prosper. Get that. It won't prosper. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. If God is for me, who can be against us? Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And the last one, I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I love you, church family. Be blessed.